is Marketing Over Coffee with Christopher Penn and John Wall.
Good morning. Welcome to Marketing Over Coffee. I'm John Wall.
I'm Christopher Penn.
And all kinds of stuff going on. It's been just, I don't even know why I bother saying this, because every week we get on and it's been total insanity the previous week. But, you know, what the heck? Here we are. Maybe one day I'll get on and be like, hey, it was a really calm week last week. How about that? That could happen in theory.
In theory, yes. I find it somewhat unlikely. One of the things that I saw speaking on that topic very briefly, Tom Webster was talking on Facebook and LinkedIn recently about him giving feedback to a podcast, a fitness podcast that had a whole long political section. We're not going to go into the politics and stuff of it, but it was really interesting that he was saying like how shows and, you know, people who run shows have the right to do whatever they want with their show. It's their show. But it incited a very strong reaction in an otherwise, you know, a person who's fairly reserved in his countenance. And I thought it was very interesting. So I wanted to get your take. I don't know if you saw his post or what or not, but I wanted to get your take on how all forms of media should or could be handling today's macro media environment.
With everything going on. Yeah, it's totally insane. And I have to not fall into bromance territory, because basically I read everything Tom Webster does. In fact, I joke, it's not even Facebook for me, it's Tom Book, because, you know, I liked so much of his stuff that Facebook just gives me, you know, it's like Tom, somebody else, Tom, somebody else. So yeah, for anybody who hadn't seen the thing, you'd mentioned it was a fitness podcast. This guy, it's, you know, Tom listens to it, so it's obviously decent. But the guy like went on a rant for a week about politics. And yeah, in that post, Tom asked the guy straight up, he's like, you know, why are you doing this? It basically is the short version of it. And so I haven't seen the last I saw, the podcaster hadn't replied. Have you seen, is there a reply yet or no? There is.
I have not seen any follow up to the story yet.
It was just exciting to see Tom kind of ask this guy straight out, like, what the heck are you doing? And then, you know, and this goes right to the long time allure of podcasting, that it's not professionals, right? Like a professional would never be like, well, I normally talk about these five things, but what the heck, we're going to go off on a rant for a week and talk about some topic that has nothing to do with anything that we normally talk about. Professionals do that for a reason. Like when this guy wakes up next week and his podcast is half as big as it used to be, you know, so much for your ad revenue. So
unless he wakes up and his podcast is twice as big as it used to be. I mean, so that's one of the questions that every content creator has to ask is, at what point, if you give the audience what they want and you're rewarded for it, I mean, that's where you start getting into stuff that quote professional media has to deal with about ethics in journalism and stuff. Podcasters and, you know, amateurs like us, we don't have a code of ethics to adhere to other than our own personal ethics. So if we suddenly went on this long tirade about, you know, lighter fluid as an example, and our audience doubled overnight, we would have to go like, is this what we talk about now?
Yeah. And this is a huge philosophical conversation of, you know, it's the fact that media is for profit, right? So it's, you go where the money is. And if people just want to read garbage all the time and you can make four times the money, well, yeah, maybe there is space for a fitness podcast with a massive political slant. And you make a great point that can definitely happen. You know, I'd say over the long run, what's it going to look like? But yeah, I'm sure there is a space for that. And so maybe it is the right thing to do. Yeah. And you do have to ask yourself these personal questions of like, how far out on a limb am I going to go? And does it affect what I want to talk about? And there is that line of, you know, are we doing this as a professional thing to help over here? Or is this kind of, you've just become the artist. This is who I am. And, you know, this is my work. And if you like it or don't like it, fine. And if I end up having to take all kinds of abuse for it, well, that's just the price of being, you know, the artist who was formerly a podcaster. You know, God knows where it could end up. It could be a huge mess.
I mean, I run into that with my own stuff. So like the Almost Timely newsletter is literally five times the size of the Trust Insights newsletter. It's like almost got 300,000 subscribers. And it is definitely my hobby publication, because there's stuff, I'll put stuff in there that is like, here's what I'm working on. And I recognize a lot of the times, like, this may not be helpful to people because, you know, like, oh, and here's how you do the debug strings for this kind of, you know, vibe coding thing. And, you know, like two people out of the 300,000 are vibe coding. But I do have to have that philosophical discussion about myself. It's like, okay, this does feed a commercial enterprise, namely Trust Insights. So how do I balance that? Over the last, 8 months, I've had a lot of political conversations and political thoughts. I have them in very private spaces, like group text messages and things like that, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that quote from the old Kung Fu TV series, once words are no better than silence, one should stay silent.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. And this goes back to, I don't know, we haven't hit this in a while, but there's discussion about how, you know, social media breaks the human communication model that we've had for tens of thousands of years, right? The fact that people can say things without repercussion in these channels, that's not normal, right? This is something that we're adapting to and moving to. And so it is a little bit weird that now there are repercussions for what you're saying online. So maybe, you know, things are catching up a little bit and getting back to normal. Because, yeah, the ultimate test for me is always, you know, whatever you're saying online, would you go down to the local bar and say that right. to somebody at yeah, the bar?
Punch in the face.
And you would get punched in the face immediately. Yeah. And there's even the lower level of like, okay, you won't get punched in the face, but everybody in town is going to be like, oh, yeah, you don't talk to that person because, you know, they are urinating in the water supply. You know, they're just like ruining everything for everyone. So... yeah, no easy answer, but I'd definitely fall back with the, if you wouldn't say it at the bar or to your mom, maybe you need to check yourself. That would be where I can end up on that. I wanted to talk about AI browsers. I saw an article about Perplexity's Comet available to their beta users, and you've been following this stuff. So kind of, what do we need to know about that and what's going on there?
So AI browsers are essentially like having a chat, you know, an LLM chat available in the browsing session at all times to help, you know, summarize things, access things, fill out forms, stuff like that. And conceptually, I love the idea. Genspark has a browser. There's a browser called Dia. There's a Comet, which is Perplexity's browser. Google's Chrome has Gemini built into it now. Conceptually, I love the idea. Practically, however,
in practice,
you are doing stuff in your browser that sometimes is sensitive, confidential, maybe even restricted information like healthcare information. If you go log on to your patient portal, and communicate with your physician, these browsers all see that. All that data flows through that browser. It gets transmitted to somebody else's servers. You don't have control over where your data is going. Now, granted, this has already been the case. Like if you're using Google Chrome, Google's watching your data, right? But at least Google's an entity that you're reasonably certain you can sue with. too, right? So my caution there is to be very, very careful with AI browsers. If you're going to use an AI-enabled browser, look for ones that are free and open source and use local AI models. This is AI that runs on your computer, and therefore your private personal data never leaves your machine. So you could be using a model like the new... Qwen 3 models. There's some that are so small they can run on a phone. And use browsers that have local AI. That way you know your data is not being harvested and sent to who knows where. And you will forget. I mean, you will forget. The browser is convenient. You'll enjoy using it. And you will forget, oh yeah, this thing is a tool of another tech company that is vacuuming up all this data. And I'm, you know, reading my favorite, politics news or whatever, or I'm reading my favorite, erotica fan fiction, whatever the thing is that you read that you might not want other people to know you're reading, perhaps an AI browser is not the right choice then.
Yeah, I had never thought of that. I was coming at it totally from the kind of the marketing and information side of, hey, this could get better results. You know, if I want to learn about X, Y, or Z, this could do a whole lot better job of this. But I hadn't stopped for a second to think like, oh, yeah, no, I never want to log in to my E-Trade account with that. Or, you know, like you said, go look at my medical records and see what my physician's telling me through one of those browsers. Like, that's an absolute no-no until they've proven that they're legit and it's going to last more than 2 weeks and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's solid advice. I had an inquiry. We had a listener asking about just kind of web analytics in general, because we haven't covered that in a while. And I just wanted to check in with you as far as, you know, so okay, you want to see how your content's doing on your website. Is GA4 still the first stop, or is there anything new that you're using, and what's the state of what's going on with this?
You know, it's really interesting. With data and analytics, tools like GA4 are running into substantial issues with data quality, because so many tools now block these tracking tools from being able to run. Anywhere from 40 to 60% of your data might be missing from what you can see in those tools. Now, there are some methods you can you take to proactively deal with that, like server-side tracking, which is not the easiest thing in the world to set up, although Google has made it somewhat easier with Google's Tag Manager. There's a way to actually set up built-in server-side tracking if you have a Cloudflare account. But in general, we're also seeing a decline in a lot of traffic from the sources we used to because of things like AI. Google's AI overviews and Perplexity and ChatGPT are eating a lot of the informational queries. Like, you know, what's the best marketing podcast? You will ask that to ChatGPT now, and you might never visit anything other than its top recommendation. So all those other podcasts that would have gotten some traffic as you were checking them out, you don't get that anymore. It's just gone. So our advice to people is to have robust tracking on the things that you have control over. Be looking at your server logs for your sites, because server logs are something that no privacy blocker can stop, because you're consuming resources on my machine. And I can, you know, logging shows you what's happening on my machine. And the other thing is you should be doing a ton more first party data collection. So that means not just, you know, form fills and email address collection and stuff, but also like actually talking to customers from time to time, saying like, hey, where do you go to get your information? How do you make decisions about this? If you were in the market to buy a bottle of lighter fluid, how would you make those choices? And one of the things that I strongly recommend is that once you've got your customer dialed in, you create a digital ideal customer profile in generative AI, and you ask it questions like, hey, how do you, you know, how would you write a prompt for ChatGPT to ask it about this topic and see what these tools come up with based on the real data that you have from real customers?
We had, you had forwarded a thing around about iOS, the latest update breaking Slack, which is critical to my lifestyle now. So I absolutely can't do that. You know, hopefully by the time people are listening to this, that's happened. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on hardware we want to jump into. Before we do, though, we just want to thank Insta360 for their support of the show. They've got a brand new 8K drone, which is just jaw-dropping. I'm really looking forward to playing around with one of those. You had actually sent that over. What was your thought on that?
So it's an 8K 360 drone. So if you've shot 360 video, this is a drone that shoots 360 video, which is nuts when you think about it, because as long as you're skilled at flying, you can video an entire environment. How cool would that be to, A, as a video producer, not have to worry about getting the shot, because you can just literally excerpt the shot from the 8K video, but also just the virtual reality experience, you know, of being able to go through places. Like, I've shot some 360 video just on a regular camera, you know, a handheld, and it's phenomenal. Like, I still go back to that minute and a half of video I shot in Istanbul Airport, and just, you know, with my headset, I go, oh, I didn't see that before. Right. So if you think about that, what a powerful tool that is to be able to take a 360 drone maybe and fly it through your yard. We talked about this last week on the last time on the podcast about you could use it to inspect a property and just for real estate purposes, for insurance purposes and stuff, fly through buildings. I could completely see its use in the Ukraine war to get like a comprehensive landscape analysis of where enemy troops might be moving. There's so many applications for 360 video that aren't sexy, like they're not cinematic, but they're incredibly practical. I could see, for example, if you were dealing with damage to, say, a structure, like after a hurricane or something, the structure still partially sinking, send the 360 drone in, just film, you'll fly through the structure, doing damage assessment, first assessment that way, and, you know, on with your goggles on, and go, okay, yeah, we can't go in here, it's unsafe, like these are the issues that we're going to run into going into this damaged building.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? Places where you can't actually tread because it could cause problems. And then, yeah, that idea of it being 8K, so high res that you'll never miss a shot. You know, you can clip whatever you want that's in the area, and you you don't have that problem of the drone trying to catch up and get the action when it's fast moving. So that sounds good. We've got links to that in the show notes, so you can check that out. And we thank them for their support of the show. A whole bunch of other hardware stuff. So the big one, Apple having their event, the iPhone 17 coming out, the super thin iPhone Air, which is amazing to me. This idea that kind of that camera bump on the back is all of the tech, the whole, and then it's just a screen and battery. There's nothing else there. That, and then the 17 coming out with a bunch of new features too. Out of the phones, was there anything that caught your eye?
No, I mean, I have a 15 and there still isn't a reason for me to upgrade. The new ones have an aluminum frame instead of a titanium frame because of heat issues, which is interesting. It makes the phone cooler to operate, but more breakable because obviously an aluminum frame is much easier to bend than a titanium frame. And it to me, it was incremental. Like, okay, there's somewhat faster processors. The cameras aren't substantially better. So I'm still on the fence of, you know, there's no need to upgrade. I try to upgrade every three versions. So like iPhone 18 will probably be my next phone. But if it's not a massive performance increase, like when I went from the M1 MacBook to the M4, holy crap, did I see a difference. Like double the amount of available RAM, 128 gig of RAM. The RAM speed was like twice as fast. The neural processors were like four times as fast, and so I can do way more. It was a logical upgrade. This is, I'm like, eh. And same for like the new Apple watches. Like I don't see a tremendous reason to upgrade. Now the one thing I did see a reason to upgrade, and I already ordered it, is the new AirPods Pro 3. Because they include a few things I care about. One, which is kind of cool, they have heart rate monitors in the AirPods themselves, which is great for running. If you don't want to wear an Apple Watch, you can get that data in that way. But two, the active noise cancellation is about twice as good as the AirPod Pros too, because they changed the ear tips to be a combination of silicone and foam. So when you put these things in, just the passive seal alone blocks out more noise. And so I'm looking forward to getting that because I'm always on the lookout for like, how can I reduce airplane noise?
Yeah, right. Make travel easier. And yeah, and it is amazing how it seems like every generation we're still making improvements on noise reduction and intelligent noise reduction too is the other thing, to be able to continue to grind out machinery and airplane noise and whatever, but and then be able to talk and hear people as they come around if you want to, or being able to dial it down.
That was one of the things I saw in iOS 26 that I'm looking forward to trying is with the AirPods, they caught up to Samsung. And now you can do live translation where someone can be talking to you in their language, just live translating into your language in your ear.
Yeah, yeah. That's a super buzzworthy one. You know, the idea that you could go somewhere where you don't speak the language and have a lot better odds of getting around is fantastic. I was surprised that they didn't include support for AuraCast, which was, you'd think that would kind of be an easy hit as far as hearing aids and folks that need it, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting. This, you know, that's kind of on the bubble of, will that technology catch on at all? Or will people just say, no, we're not going to, you know, kind of go that route and are not going to give access to it. Just had to give a shout out. I got my new tour box, which was great. It's basically the exact same one I had, but because it's not the Kickstarter version, it actually doesn't. My old one would randomly kind of shut off. I would have to plug it in and, you know, to wake it back up. And they've managed to solve that. So I'm finally got my editing workflow back to where it should be. So I'm thrilled about that. New smart glasses, Oakley Meta Vanguard one, and there was a couple of other pairs. Yeah, this is another one I'm on the bubble with. And of course, the backbreaker for me is I'm not going to buy any glasses if they're not prescription. So you're instantly doubling the price of anything that I'm looking at. So yeah, I'm out for now. Is there anything on the smart glasses side that you're looking at?
One of them, and I don't remember which model it was, it now has an actual display in it, which the previous versions have not. They've been audio only, which I thought was interesting. My much greater concern is that these are made by Meta. They interface with Meta's AI. They interface with Meta's systems. The cameras and stuff feed data through Meta's systems. So you are basically giving surveillance data to Mark Zuckerberg while you're wearing these. I mean, there's no polite way of putting it. So you're feeding a lot of information, including people who may not consent to being recorded while you're walking around with these things on in public, in private. You know, folks may not remember, but back in the days of Google Glass, about, what was it, 10 years ago, now, 15 years ago now, there was a whole thing about, you know, Google Glass and this camera. And there was a very obvious Borg-like thing that set on your face. But one of the obvious things that people had to do at the time, because it was just considered polite, was when you walked into the restroom, you flipped it up so that you're not recording other people's private bits in the restroom, right? Which is super creepy, but you can't do that with the Meta Ray-Bans. Like, you can't, there's no obvious way to say that, like, other than taking them off or, you know, or something. There's a lot of privacy concerns that I have with these devices. Not because of the device itself necessarily, but because of the company behind it, because Meta has shown an absolute disregard for all forms of ethics and always since the inception of the company. And this is just another extension of their complete disregard for privacy.
All right. So probably not on the gift list for you for this holiday season. We'll move on from
I mean, I would take them and I would wear them selectively and then I'd put them in the closed case the rest of the time.
Leave them off as known and not be taping over the record light to get yourself in trouble.
Like, I could totally see if I was going on vacation, I was going to go out on a sightseeing tour, right? You know, the Grand Canyon, whatever. I would absolutely wear them then, you know, so I could take photos in, you know, with my phone and with these things on at the same time. But I would be very conscientious about where and when I wore them because of the privacy issues and the fact that you can't trust Meta with data.
All right. Wrapping up, we had I finished Cobra Kai, which, you know, is a medal of honor of its own, I guess. The last season, the middle five episodes are fantastic. And it was good to get that finished. And so then I was like, all right, I've got to watch Karate Kid Legends. Let me just get this done. And that was, it's, you know, no surprises. If you're looking for a Karate Kid movie, it, you know, totally is and works. Having Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan together is that in itself just makes it worth watching. I also have a random thing. I wanted to throw out Star Wars Scene 38. We were talking about Star Wars in another group and a guy reshot the Darth Vader Ben Kenobi fight and just completely uploaded it. This has been around for like 4 or 5 years, but if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth seeing. And of course, a plug for the AI Ready Strategist course. Go get that. We actually have a toolkit that's available. You can get that for free so you can kind of figure out what's going on. It's kind of a try before you buy thing. Check that out. You are all over the place coming up in October. So what's on the calendar? What are you, what's got you going?
Yeah, so I'm going to be in Denver for SMPS the second week of October. I'll be in Cleveland for MayCon the third week of October. And then the last week of October, I'll be in London for our workshop, which now has literally seven seats left. It's going to be at Uncommon Burrow, which is the room holds 25 people. Like, they literally just hold it can't hold more than that. So it's like, okay, this is all that's available. So it is not a cheap, high pressure sales tactic. It's, I can't put more people in that room because it's not spec for it.
Yeah, if you're out in London, the UK, or if you can travel from somewhere else or in the area there, come check out this live session October 31st. I'm really excited that you've managed to get this lit up and it is running on its own. So it looks like odds are you'll be doing some stuff in the States, picking some cities probably for Q1 since this has run so well. So more on that as it comes, we'll keep you in the loop. And if you want to request, in fact, I've already got a request for Seattle for you and Chicago from two listeners that said, you know, I said, hey, we're going to be looking in Q1. So if you've got a favorite city, now's the time to tell us because we can get it on the radar. Sign up for the Marketing Over Coffee text line at 617-812-5494. But that's going to do it for this week. So until next week, enjoy the coffee.
Enjoy the coffee.
You've been listening to Marketing Over Coffee. Christopher Penn blogs at ChristopherSPenn.com. Read more from John J. Wall at JW5150.com. The Marketing Over Coffee theme song is called Mellow G by Funkmasters. And you can find it at Musical.ly from Mevio or follow the link in our show notes.